Influencing others is more about how we interact with people than actually changing those around us. And that's today's topic on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
Get the junk out of your heart so that you actually have the ability to connect and relate with your husband. You're submitting yourself to God, and God has an influence on your heart and has affected the way you live your life, not by the many words that you speak, but by the purity and the reverence of the life that you live. That's called influence.
And welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Mark, we're going to hear some principles today from God's Word, 1 Peter, actually, that have the potential to greatly influence and affect our relationships, whether it's a marriage relationship or any other kind in life.
Wayne, I've been married for over 30 years now. And the most influential person in my life besides the Lord is my wife.
Of course.
And, you know, over the years you learn that you can influence your spouse for the good or for the bad. And I have to say she's influenced me way for the good.
You got a good one.
Yeah. But you know, every spouse goes through wrestling through the idea of how do I live with a person that has bad habits? How do I work through the unforgiveness I have or the hurt I have? And this passage is going to deal with how to influence your spouse in a godly way. And so I think this is going to, a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this.
Right. And it does apply to all relationships in life. That's the power of God's Word. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's Mark Jobe.
If you're married, you all have understood that sometimes we get married and there's a tendency to want to change our spouse, alter them a little bit. We love them, but can you change? And I don't know if you remember your first fight you ever had. Those of you that are married, do you remember the first fight you had after you got married? Some of you are like, no, it's been so long. So many fights, Pastor, I can't remember. So I do remember my first fight after I got married. I got married to my beautiful wife, Dee. I was 21 years old. We got married, and I scrounged up enough money to be able to buy tickets to go to the country that I grew up in, which was the country of Spain. But I didn't have enough money once I got there to stay at a hotel, so I borrowed a car and threw a tent in the trunk. And I told my wife, hey, it's going to be a beautiful scenario, but you'll have to sleep in a tent with me. And so when you're in love, those things don't matter that much, right? And so I drove my borrowed car, and we would drive up the coast, and if we saw a place we'd like, we'd park the car, put up the tent, and sleep there. And it was working out pretty well. Now, my wife made sure I understood she's a city girl. She let me know, you know, I'm a city girl. I don't camp. But for the honeymoon, in light of the circumstances, she indulged me and we camped. But she made sure I understood I'm not a camping type of girl, so let's not get used to this. And so we were traveling through up the coast of Spain, and we traveled into Italy. And my wife asked me, hey, when we go into Italy, do you speak Italian? And I said, sort of. I said, you know, Italian and Spanish are kind of like the same. You just have to go a little at the end of it, and, you know, people sort of understand. And so she seemed okay with that. So I drove to a toll booth, and the guy behind the toll booth, I asked him, ¿Dónde está el camping? ¿Qué van en el camping? He seemed to understand, and he just went off in Italian. And my wife said, did you understand what he said? I said, yep. He said that the camping is in a town called Ushita. So I said, okay, I'm looking for this town called Ushita. Start driving. It's very late at night, 1:30 in the morning. I keep driving. I keep seeing signs that say Ushita. And then it finally dawns on me, Ushita is not the name of a town. Ushita means exit. My wife wasn't very happy at the time. We finally pulled into a camping place, 2 o'clock in the morning. I was tired. I was crabby. She was crabby. We were both tired. I tried to set up a tent. It was hard to set up, so I said, I'm not going to set up this tent. We're just gonna put our sleeping bags inside the tent and just sleep with it down. And she said, no, we're not. She said, there may be rats around here. And so I tried to put it up. I was cranky. I was crabby. And we had our first little fight about the tent. Of course, she won. And I like to say she's been winning ever since. But no, that's, but that was the first little fight that we had because I was trying to change a city girl and trying to say, all right, I'm going to make you more of a country girl instead of a city girl. Now, that may be a small little tiff. And some of you are here today and you understand that marriage is challenging and difficult. In fact, they tell us that over 50% of the marriages in America today end in divorce. That more people are waiting to get married later in life. In fact, they say that the average male now gets married at 30 years old and the average female at 28 years old. In part because there's a little bit of fear of marriage, in part because marriage is no longer considered that important. And those that do remain married, oftentimes the marriage is not that good. Sometimes it's dysfunctional, broken, toxic. I've been a pastor for a long time. I've married a lot of couples, and I've been on the other end of actually counseling a lot of couples, and I understand that marriage can be extremely challenging. The Apostle Peter jumps into one of the most thorough, condensed passages on the template for marriage that you'll find anywhere in the Bible. Now, I have to warn you in advance, this is hard to swallow. Some of this is going to make you bristle. I'm going to start speaking to the wives first, and some of you are going to like, hey, Pastor, I don't like what you're saying here. But don't worry, I'll get to the men at the end of the passage. There will be equal opportunity to say, ouch. I believe you need to listen because there's a template that God gives us. And here's what I want you to tell you. The focus of influencing your spouse has less to do with how you change them and more to do how you change yourself to interact with them. So, it starts out in 1 Peter chapter 3. He's talked about how we need to come under unjust government. Last week, Josiah talked about how Nero, this crazy man named Nero, was the head of the government and the emperor. And the Apostle Peter says, hey, even though he may be an unjust ruler, unjust dictator, you still need to show respect towards him. And he teaches how people need to survive under unjust politicians. Then he talked a little bit about if you have a boss that's unjust or not a righteous, just how you survive under that boss in an unjust situation. And now he turns his attention to marriage and he says this, wives, in the same way as what? In the same way as if you were under a dysfunctional government or an unjust boss, some of you may be in a marriage that's not all that good either. And so he goes on to tell us how we are to function in a marriage that may not be the ideal marriage. And he says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write three things down. I'm going to tell you three ways that the Apostle Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells wives to influence their spouse. Write this down. Number one, influence him through supportive affirmation. This first verse here is one of the most memorized by men of any other verse in the Bible. There's a lot of men that don't know any verse in the Bible. No verse in the Bible. They can't find a Bible. They don't find a verse in the Bible. But when they're in marriage, they say, doesn't the Bible say somewhere, wives, submit yourself to your husband? They kind of know that one phrase. And I believe that when you even hear that phrase, many of you women, whether you're married or not married, sometimes it makes your blood curdle a little bit. Sometimes it causes the hairs on the back of your neck to stand up a little bit, in part because it is a phrase, the word submission has this negative connotation to it. It's been misunderstood, it's been misused, and oftentimes it's been abused. And so I just want to make sure, first of all, we know what we're talking about here. By the way, another portion of Scripture, in Ephesians, it talks to believers. And when it's talking about wives and husbands, it also says, submit yourself to one another. In other words, there's a mutual respect of acknowledging that we all have different functions. The word submit means that in a wife in a relationship with a husband acknowledges that there's a leader to the household, and that she acknowledges and affirms the leadership of her husband. Now, it does not mean, let me tell you what it does not mean, first of all. It does not have anything to do with value. It has nothing to do with worth. It has nothing to do with ability, intelligence, leadership, has nothing to do with that. In fact, in the Trinity, for example, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit function as one. They are equal in quality, virtue, values, mindset, yet the Bible says that Jesus is under the authority of the Father, even though they are equal in value and position. Jesus does nothing outside of the will of the Father. The Father does nothing outside of the will of the Son. They function in co-equalness. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So they're equal in value. However, there's an authority order in the Trinity, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Are you tracking with me? Okay, it's important to understand this. The word submission is a military term. It talks about rank. I like to describe it this way. If you misunderstand this term, then you will think, if you're a man, a husband, and you misunderstand this term, you'll think you're the little dictator or the little autocrat of the household. If you're the wife and you misunderstand it, you think that somehow you have to be this mousy person that becomes a doormat to whatever your husband means. It doesn't mean either of those. In fact, the Bible talks about servant leadership in men. On the other side, it says, husbands, love your wives as Jesus loved the church and is willing to give him his life for her. It's servant leadership.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. And we're pausing for just a moment here, Mark, to thank our Bold partners who really make this program possible.
We are so grateful for our Bold partners. And if you wonder what a Bold partner is, it's someone that's said, I believe that this program and this message is so important that I want to help donate monthly to support this program. It really helps us out. Any gift at any time helps us, but monthly partnership really helps us go to the next level.
And it is making a difference. Here's a listener, Caesar, who says, Dr. Mark, your ministry is a bright light shining to lead the way for some of us in a dark time. I listen to Bold Steps as often as I can, and it truly makes my day better. Well, that thank you goes to our Bold partners, too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Caesar, for that word of encouragement, and that echoes what we're hearing from so many people across the country.
Now, a Bold partner is someone who gives a monthly gift, and that gift can be any size you choose, but if you choose to give $30 or more, you'll get some thank yous from us, a 50% off discount at anything in the Moody Publishers catalog. There's a signed copy of Mark's book, Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call, and other personal exclusive communication from Mark. So if you can give at $30 or more a month, that really is a wonderful thing to do for the ministry here. So thank you for that. Sign up at boldstepsradio.org and become a Bold partner. Back to the message now with Mark Jobe, influencing your spouse.
And when the wife understands that God has put a order and she affirms and supports the leadership of her husband, and the husband is looking out for the interest and loving his wife the way that Jesus loved the church, then they function in this powerful harmony in which it doesn't feel like someone's exerting authority and someone else is trying to. It flows in love and respect in this perfect harmony, and you would, it's like this perfect dance. If you're in a dance, sometimes there's the person that's leading the dance, that's initiating, kind of move this way, move that way. When they're good dancers, which I'm not, you barely know who's leading because they're flowing in harmony, because they've danced so long together, but someone's initiating, but it's a gentle initiation. It's a tender, small tap on the shoulder, and they flow together. When marriage is working the way that God wants it to work, it will be like that. If you're a husband pounding your chest like King Kong, quoting the verse, submit yourself, wife, submit yourself, then there is something wrong with your marriage. I like to illustrate it this way, for example. If you were to drive into an intersection in Chicago, and there were a traffic cop at the intersection, and he were to say, blow his whistle and stop you, and you were to drive right through it, and then he would call you out and you would stop, and he would say, sir, why did you drive right by? Didn't you see me say stop? And you were to look at him and say, yeah, I saw you say that. But I figured, I think my education's higher than yours. Do you have a bachelor's degree? And he'd say, hold on. And by the way, I think I may have more money in my bank account than you. How much money do you have in your bank account? Because I think I have a little bit more than you have. And he would say, oh, wait a second. And by the way, have you tested your IQ? Because I think my IQ may be higher than your IQ. So therefore, when you said stop, I thought I probably have a higher education. My IQ's higher. So I don't have to stop because I feel like I'm smarter than you are. That's a great way to get a ticket in Chicago. Because what the officer would say has nothing to do with my IQ. It has nothing to do with my bank account. It has nothing to do with my education. Do you see this badge right here? This badge has been granted authority, so I am responsible for the safety of this intersection. And by granted authority, I am supposed to lead regardless of IQ, regardless of education or anything else. I've been granted authority and training to lead. And so it is in the household that God has granted a system of function of authority that should exist in the household because God wants the household to function with integrity in every single way. And that's what headship is in Scripture. Peter addresses the wives and he says, wives, I want you to willingly come under the leadership of your husband. What does that mean, willingly come under the leadership of your husband? That means that you affirm his leadership. That means you validate his leadership. That means you acknowledge the leadership. And there's not this constant war and turf over fighting. By the way, can I say this as well? It doesn't say this in the passage, but it says it in other portions of Scripture. There's a lot of men that actually have become passive in their leadership. In fact, when I look at the first chapters of Genesis and I see the fall of humanity, it was both Eve's deception and Adam's passivity that led to mega problems. And we live in a generation and a culture oftentimes that the man that really should be stepping up to the plate and leading, setting the culture of a household, oftentimes find themselves passive, unwilling to step up in leadership, sort of sitting on the couch drinking a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and expecting the wife to be in charge of everything related to the household and the children and decisions and culture. And they've embraced oftentimes a passivity. And then they want to lead but have not exercised leadership. And that's another topic and theme. But for now, what Peter is telling the wives is, acknowledge and understand to validate the leadership that God has placed in your household. And it says, and if any of them does not believe the word, so if you're married to a non-believer, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of their lives. So what the Apostle Peter is saying is that some wives were married to people that were not Christians. And the wives were arguing, hey, I'm a Christian. My husband's not a Christian. Why should I listen to his leadership? He doesn't read the Bible. He doesn't come to church. He doesn't worship God. Why should I follow him? I know more about the Bible. I know more verses. I pray more. I'm more godly than he is. Then why should I really even follow his leadership? And here's what Peter is saying. Peter is saying, if you want to influence your husband, even if he's not a Christian, the way to influence him is not by preaching at him. Hello. If you get in an argument with a husband that's not a believer, and every time you get in an argument, you try to tell him how dark he is and how gripped by the devil he is, and probably he's demon-possessed and in the dark side of the world and going to hell, you're probably not gaining many points to bring him to Christ. If you're using a lot of words and try and convince him with your words and leaving Pastor Mark's CDs on his bed at night and leaving the radio turned to 90.1 FM, make sure he gets the word, and putting Bibles around all the time and tracts and bringing people and say, tell him. If you're trying to convince him with a lot of words and he's resistant, maybe you have the wrong approach, because what Peter says is this. Listen, Peter says, if any of them do not believe the word of God, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. What kind of behavior? When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives. What does that mean? What are we talking about when we're talking about purity? Let me tell you what happens in a lot of marriages. Spouses' hearts get cluttered by resentment, bitterness, anger, that clutters our heart, distances our relationship, and causes marriages to function as a partnership when people have very little intimacy. They may live under the same roof together, but they don't know each other, and they're lonely under the same roof because they've allowed their heart to get cluttered with stuff that pulls them apart from their spouse. And so what Peter is saying, and instead of it just be the words that you use, may it be the purity of your heart. Clean your heart. Get the junk out of your heart so that you actually have the ability to connect and relate with your husband and show this reverence that you have for God, that ultimately you're submitting yourself to God and God has an influence on your heart and has affected the way you live your life, not by the many words that you speak, but by the purity and the reverence of the life that you live. That's called influence.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the candid, topical Bible teaching of Mark Job. Well, we love getting listener letters, and so if you'd like to connect with us or if you'd like to share your story or testimony, we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or connect with us online when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, if you're reaching what some call the golden years, I'm sure you're thinking a lot about legacy. And right now, here's Mark to remind us our lives still have purpose, no matter our age.
As we grow older, life continues to bring new problems, challenges, and setbacks in our lives. But for followers of Christ, the journey is never without a purpose. And in a book called Nearing Home, world-renowned author, preacher, and evangelist Billy Graham shows us how to continue striving for God's purpose in our lives all the way to the very end. When it comes to running our race for Jesus, we're not meant to slow down as we get older. In fact, some of our greatest spiritual victories can be found in our golden years. And that's why this book is so powerful. But no matter where you're at in life, it's never too early or too late to start equipping yourself for the future. Once again, the book is called Nearing Home, and it's yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And as we approach Thanksgiving Day, let me say a heartfelt thank you to everyone who supported Bold Steps this year. It's been an incredible opportunity to serve with you. Your gift and donations allow us to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it most. So thank you from me, Mark Jobe, and the entire Bold Steps team.
If you'd like to give and request your copy of Nearing Home, just call us at 844-615-7363. Again, 844-615-7363. Or give online and request the book when you go to boldstepsradio.org. And then before we close, don't forget to connect with us on your favorite social media platform. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and we'd love to connect with you today. Well, thanks for being with us. It's all the time we have, but be sure to join us again tomorrow when Mark continues his message on influencing your spouse. Learn how to value and love your spouse no matter what comes your way. The message is coming up Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.